Emails, emails, emails. They are perhaps the most well-known form of online communication used for business, replacing meetings that don't need to be meetings, and importantly, marketing. Emails are a great way of getting your charity's message out there to different audiences and at a low cost. They are a way of directly communicating with your key audiences, from trustees to donors, beneficiaries to volunteers, and when done right, can deepen the connection between your charity and the community it serves. But with an estimated 300 billion emails sent and received every day, how can charities make theirs stand out? I'm your host, Ashley Fontaine, Charity Digital's Marketing Program Manager. And in this podcast, I'll be joined by colleagues, James Kokoran, E-Commerce Manager, Grace Monnery, Communications Executive, and Nick Wyatt, Growth Marketing Executive, to discuss the ins and outs of email marketing, from how to structure your email to getting people to read it. So, yeah, thank you for joining us today, guys. How are you feeling?
Really good.
Yeah, great.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, awesome. So let's kick off. What is the value of emails in marketing? So kind of like more than half of nonprofits said that they plan to prioritize email with a similar proportion of participants across all age groups asking for it. So yeah, anyone got any thoughts on that?
Yes. So one great thing about emails is most people across the globe have an email address. And I think research has actually shown that 99% of people check their emails at least once a day. So no matter who your audience is, the likelihood that they have an email and that you can reach them by email is pretty high. Also, like you mentioned, Ashley, in your intro, email is actually a really cost-effective way of reaching those people. There are lots of email marketing tools out there that don't have to cost a lot. And the return on investment of email is actually pretty high. So that is one major benefit of email marketing.
Yeah, so like Grace said, it's direct. You can get it quite cheaply, but you can also make it really personal. But one thing we will discuss later is there are so many emails going around, you really have to make it specific and make it personal to the reader, because otherwise you can easily just get lost in their inbox.
Mm. Yeah, I think the value of emails definitely depends on how you use them. It's all well and good to start your own email marketing campaign, but if you haven't really thought it out, you're not exactly going to have a very valuable email service to your users. So I think it takes a lot of thought and process before you really kick it off to make it really good. But yeah, out the gate, I think the possibilities are so grand that the value of it is, and the opportunity is so worth it for every charity.
Definitely. I'd also add that unlike a lot of other marketing channels, people do opt into your email subscriber list. So you've actually got a whole range of people who actively want to hear from you.
Definitely, definitely. And I think as well, kind of looking at it from more even from a charity lens, so like successful emails can translate into increased funding, greater awareness, wider reach, and ultimately better service delivery. So yeah, there are many different avenues that charities can benefit from when it comes to emails, and they hold so much value, especially when, of course, keeping like audiences informed. So you have like particularly thank you emails for supporters. So yeah, there's a lot that we can get from that from a charity perspective. Mm-hmm. But yeah, looking on to kind of the foundations of a successful email. So kind of thinking about structure, language, what kind of advice would you give to a charity when they're trying to think about what makes a great email?
I mean, I think the first thing you want to do before you even make a great email is have a great email campaign strategy in place, because you want to make sure that you have the exact plan of what you're going to be doing when you start sending these emails. So I think it's really good to start thinking about, you know, the tone of voice, the branding, or how you're going to use your emails, for what purpose. If it's for fundraising or for user support, you're going to use your emails very differently. And I mean, you could be doing all of those things, but if you are, you also need to map out how you're going to send those, how you're going to split it all up. So really taking the time beforehand is going to make a huge part of making a good email. And then from there, you also need to start thinking about how you're going to collect emails to email. Because if you're, you know, it's all well and good saying, let's create an email. Well, if you've got no one to send it to, then it's pretty redundant. Think about how you're going to persuade people to opt into your emails as well. Mm-hmm. Because it's all well and good having just a tick box that says, let us email you. But at the end of the day, everyone's getting a billion emails nowadays. Yeah. You almost have to give them a reason to subscribe to your newsletters or your emails. Because at the end of the day, I've said that a few times now, you are asking for basically a slice of someone's personal space. Mm-hmm. So you have to give them a reason to email them. It can't just be purely for your own marketing benefit. You have to give them a benefit to the user as well. So that way, more and more people will opt into your emails and you'll be able to grow your audience base. Start thinking about how you're going to opt in people, and also really start thinking about what information you get from people as you help them in, because that can be really important later in things like segmentation.
It can be really tempting to put too much information into an email. You may want to give people a lot of information all at once and think it's all really important. But with emails, keeping it as simple as possible, but including the key points is really important. So one thing you can do is sort of have a skeleton structure, including all the key points, and then link to a section of your website or an article with more information. So then you know that the people clicking are the ones who are engaged and who want more information. So you can use that then to send them another email later down the line.
Yeah, that's a really good tip.
I agree with that too. And I think I think a lot of people think that their emails need to be really elaborate and that you almost need to write a piece of content for them, but it really doesn't have to be the case there. Some of the most successful emails I think we as a group have ever sent out usually are pretty direct and to the point. I always try to structure my emails by sort of going in with a plan where I think about the message, the audience, then the style, and then I split into three sections, which is like an introduction, the meat and gravy, and then the CTA. And that's what I really feel like you need to do sometimes. Sometimes you might have to be more elaborate, but I think that's a really good starting point in making a really quite successful email.
Yeah. On the point of CTA, can you like elaborate a bit more on how to kind of create a good CTA? What makes a good CTA even?
So yes, CTA stands for call to action. And I think the key thing with a call to action is that make sure it's really obvious what you're asking of your audience, and making sure that it's well signposted and it sort of links with everything else you've been saying in your email. If you're looking for fundraising and then you're talking about something completely different in your email, it's going to be a bit jarring. So you want everything to sort of flow towards your CTA, so that's almost like a funnel, getting people in the right state of mind to do the CTA as well. So yeah, making it very obvious on your email as well is very key. Not just a tiny little link would be absolutely ideal.
Just going back to what Nick sort of said at the beginning about creating your audiences and building your lists, a really important part about that is creating different segments. So you could do this based on the user's interests, if they're interested in specific projects that you're running or different areas of your charity, or be it different stages of the user journey, whether they've just found out about you or if they're a regular donor. That is a really important thing to factor in when you're sending your emails, to make sure, like we've said, that they're highly personalized and targeting the right people with the right messages.
I think one thing that's really important to bear in mind is sometimes doing two or even three emails instead of just one, and keeping them personalized is really important. It can really help drive people towards that call to action. So research has shown 72% of consumers will only engage with personalized marketing messages, according to a report by SmarterHQ.
Yeah, I think that's all good points. I think all in all, it's kind of just about knowing your audience, because there's no way that you can send a great email without understanding the people that you're sending the email to. So personalization is a massive, massive thing. And there's even reading some research recently about hyper-personalization. So there's even more that you can do to even target your audience even further. We've got quite a few pieces, kind of content pieces about hyper-personalization. Personalization that can really be helpful at this stage if anyone's looking for more information. Generally, personalization is really, really key to ensure that people will actually open them and engage with them as a whole. So yeah, definitely, definitely that. I'm thinking as well about subject lines, and because that's something that's really key and people might not know how to kind of put them together. Mm. What would your top tips be for subject lines?
I would always say A/B testing. Just go in with a multiple kind of array of different things that you think could work and keep learning from everything that you do and what works and what doesn't work. What I mean by A/B testing, though, just for anyone who doesn't know, is the idea that you sort of set up a couple of different subject lines. You say how many people you want them to go out to, maybe for how much time. A lot of email software will allow you to do this. And then you can go with a few different options and then see which one your audience likes the most. I think that's really good because not every audience is the same. And we could tell you, I'll do it this way, it'll be really good, and it completely not work for your audience. So I think really testing what you think you know from your audience is a really good place to start. If you want a quick, easy way to start, though, try and keep it consistent with the content you're promoting or you're talking about in your email, and make sure that what you say in your subject line almost leads into your email. So it's like the starting point, and then it flows directly into the email. It's a nice way to start.
Picking up on one thing Nick mentioned, I think it's important to track your progress over time. You may see patterns over time that certain tone of voice works, or including certain words, maybe guides of how to do things will really resonate well with your audience. So yeah, just tracking over time can really work.
Definitely, I agree. I think as well, one is kind of looking at the best times of the day, of the week to send, and how often, because that's something that's also quite integral to emails. So yeah, any kind of thoughts on that? I know for when I was doing research like a couple of weeks ago on this, and it was saying that, you know, people often say that midday is like the great time because people are on lunch breaks, they're probably browsing, scrolling. But yeah, what are you guys' kind of experiences on that?
I think it all comes back to knowing your audience. I mean, we could say, yeah, the best time to send is Tuesday 10 a.m., which is what I have seen a lot of research saying. But ultimately, it depends who your audience is. For example, we target a lot of charity workers. So we have a people's work email addresses. So they're typically going to be reading their emails during the work hours. Whereas if you're targeting people through their personal emails, it might be first thing in the morning, or perhaps once they've got home, had their dinner and are chilling out for the evening. So sort of going back to Nick's point about A/B testing, that's another area that you can test and see what works for you and for your organization.
I think also just take a step back from that is really thinking about your email schedule. Is that, you know, you can make the best email in the world, but if you're sending a billion emails every week to everybody, you're going to overwhelm them. So they're probably not going to read your emails. So really map out what emails you want to send and when. And then from there, you can also start thinking about the timings you want to send those emails. And as Grace mentioned, testing those times. And then you'll have a really nice structure moving forward to how you're going to be emailing people on a weekly basis.
Yeah, agreed. And I think there's also the element of design, like what do you want to put in your emails? How do you want it to look? Again, it also comes back down to kind of personalization. But there are a lot of like email templates that a lot of platforms and software already offer for you on hand. So it can be quite easy to put one together, like things like MailChimp, .digital. We also have our charity digital mail that we can also kind of look to for easy templates and designs that are really, really helpful. So yeah, design is a key one. In terms of layout, format, any tips on that?
I think with design, it's so subjective, unfortunately. It's going to be one of those it depends answers.
Yeah.
But I think starting out really simple is the best thing anyone can do. And then really using the resources they have. And also, I guess one thing we haven't mentioned is also check your capacity as well. If you haven't got the capacity to be making the most elaborate, beautiful emails, then sort of dial things back. But a really lovely email with just a banner, a text, and a call to action can work really, really well, as long as what you're pushing forward matches what you're sending to your audience, essentially. So I think, I would start really there with a decent looking banner. You can use things like Canva, which are really fantastic. We use it all the time. We love it. And create yourself some nice banners, and then really it's all about your text and your CTA from there. But then as you get better at it, really think about adding additions into it. Once again, A/B testing everything, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work, and then build yourself a great email strategy.
Another thing that I found really helpful in the past is signing up to a lot of mailing lists from competitors or people within the sectors, people who are doing similar things to you, and then sort of getting an idea of what they're doing. Yes, you may not know how well they're performing, but it's a really great place to find ideas, see what they're doing, perhaps something you wouldn't have thought of before. So I find that really helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that some providers, the image doesn't load straight away. So you want to make sure that not all of your information is in the image, because it could look beautiful and have all the information to you, and then you've got your CTA. But if someone's image doesn't load, they basically open a blank email. Have a nice image, but then include some text underneath with all the important points.
Yeah, and if you are going to use images, make sure you're using alt text on all of them as well, because I think it's like 25% of emails are in HTML versions, so they don't actually load videos, images. So that's a really good point.
Really good point.
And also, if you have too many images, it may look amazing to you, but then it can make the email really heavy. Mm. So some servers may reject that, or it may take ages to load on someone's phone or laptop. And with so many emails being sent by so many different companies, if something's taken a few minutes to load, people are going to switch off and they're not going to be interested. Mm. So just make sure it's snappy. You've got all the information there, but still make it nice and pretty if you've got the time.
Yeah. Make sure when you upload those images as well, if you do use them, that they're at a pixel density to look good, but not to, as James mentioned, completely slow down your email so that no one opens them. So
yeah. Definitely. I think on Canva currently we use JPEGs. Yeah, but I was about to say JPG then. JPEGs. Because they have the best quality, particularly for when you're sharing images. So when it's kind of translating between kind of phone to kind of desktop, it looks the best. Mm. So high quality images is also very important. But of course, again, bearing in mind the kind of comments that everyone else has made about kind of if it's so high quality, will it load? Will it take too long to load? So yeah, a lot of things to bear in mind when it comes to email design and layout. But yeah, I think as well, it's also can't miss the fact of data. We've already kind of touched on it when we talked about, you know, your email database, segmentation, but metrics. Metrics are so important when it comes to email. So what are the most valuable metrics to measure?
I think it can be tricky now. Open rates used to be a big one for email marketing, but with recent changes to Apple's privacy policy means that your email software can't actually pick up a lot of people who are opening your emails and get that kind of data from those people. So when they've opened it or if they've opened it. So we here have seen quite a bit of a downturn with our open rates recently, which means we're looking at other metrics to be able to tell whether our campaigns have been successful or not. So one thing that we are placing more importance on is click to open rate, and that shows you how engaging your email copy is and how many people are clicking through from those that have opened your email. And yeah, that can tell you if people are engaging with your content, whether it's relevant for them and they're clicking through to your website or whatever that link might be to find out more.
Mm. Definitely. I think it's also important to mention to not kind of be too hard on yourself, because I think that's a lot of things where I've found experience where I've created what I believe is an amazing email and it doesn't always do so well no matter how many times you're following the strategy that you set out. And sometimes, you know, you have dips in your metrics. So at some points, you know, particularly now we're in August, so you know sometimes our clicks might be a lot lower than they might be in September because a lot of people are on holiday. Mm. So it's also like important to not beat yourself up too much if you see that your clicks aren't getting kind of as high rates as you expect them to be. Like be a bit flexible, I think, and adaptable in understanding that.
Yeah, no, I was digging into this a little bit because I totally agree with you, because the average click rate to nonprofits in 2019 was less than 3%.
Wow.
So yeah, if you're not seeing amazing numbers, you shouldn't worry about it too much, as long as you're kind of getting results elsewhere from your email marketing campaigns. Because I think with the metrics, it's really you have to correlate all of them to get a really paint a proper picture. I know we've mentioned that open rates aren't what they used to be, but sort of correlating the open rates with click-through rates and then click to open rates with on top of that, whatever conversions you have on the other side of your email are really important, because some of those can, the first few open rates and click-through rates and click-to-open rates could be amazing, but you might have everyone going to your site not doing anything at all, which might tell you that you are not targeting the right audience. It might tell you that your website's not working the way it should do. I think it's just making sure you're tracking all of this data and reviewing it constantly to be seeing what works and what doesn't work, to be making changes for your emails later down the line.
Definitely. I just wanted to flag as well, like contactability is quite a big word that a lot of people use in emails. Can anyone elaborate a bit more on this?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point, because when you're emailing 1,000 people, chances are that a lot of those people aren't even going to be contactable, if that's the right word. So I think it's something you really need to keep an eye on as you're going through your email campaigns, that you might actually find that you have 1,000 emails, but only 250 of those people are actually interacting with your emails. And I think it's something that you really need to keep an eye on. I know that we've kind of discussed that sometimes you can't see that data because of some of the changes in Apple's policies. But it might be worth looking at all this data for a data cleanse campaign and really getting rid of some of those people who are not interacting with any of your emails, so that moving forward you have a more engaged base. I know people sometimes think of that as being sinful to get rid of your contacts, but if they're really not existing or not interacting with you in any way, then they might have to go.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that's probably actually going to affect the results that you're seeing, open rates, click-through rates, all of that. If you've got people who are just either not using that account anymore or don't really want to hear what you say, then that's going to just be a negative thing for your results in the long run. So it is, you want your list to be as big as possible, but if you've got people on there that aren't engaging with you, then it's sort of wasted accounts.
On the theme of engagement, one metric I think is really important to follow is your unsubscribe rate. So you're always going to get unsubscribes, but looking at the percentage of people who unsubscribe or the numbers is really important to track. And there are a few things that could lead to that. As we've been saying, keeping things consistent and relevant is really important. So if you put in something in the subject line that isn't relevant to the content, then people may unsubscribe for that reason. And also, as we were saying, with it being tempting to email people as many times as you want, if they're getting 4 emails a day, 5 times a week, people will unsubscribe because that's, you know, far too much for them. So looking at your unsubscribe rate and trying to work out why people are unsubscribing is really important.
I think another set of data that people really need to think about with their emails is their spam rate. Now, there's loads of pretty good resources online where you can check this for free, but one of the things really good is every now and then testing your emails by sending them to one of these websites, and they will tell you the average percentage of users that will get into their main box or into their spam box. Now, you can sort of change how this works by changing your sender name, by changing your subject lines and the account name as well that it's being sent from. But being careful to test this quite vigorously, because if you're finding out that most of your emails are going to someone's spam box, you're not going to have great results elsewhere. So I think that's something every now and then everyone has to test to make sure you're not going to spam.
I think bounce rate is that kind of similar as well, isn't it? In the sense that you need to make sure that your emails are actually getting delivered, because you might have made a human error potentially when inputting the information in terms of their email address, whether it's, you know, it actually is correct and is going to the person. So I think bounce rate is also important, because you could be sending out loads of emails and they're actually not being delivered. They're just bouncing right back. So, yeah.
Well, I think the bounce rate goes back to what we were saying before about the contactability, is that you might find out you've got a bounce rate of 30%, which essentially, I wouldn't say go and remove all of them at once, because sometimes some things bounce when they still exist. So checking those bounce lists, correlating them and adding them up and finding, okay, there's X amount of users have bounced every single time, chances are that email address doesn't exist anymore. And that's quite a quick way to sort of cleanse your database, is getting rid of those bounce rates and stop emailing them moving forward, so you can see better, not just seeing better results, but seeing more accurate results moving forward.
Definitely. We've spoken a lot about this. I feel like we could probably talk about this all day. But final question, the best piece of email marketing advice you could give to someone, what would that be?
I think the best kind of advice I could give to someone starting email marketing is to try and get as much data on the people you're going to be email marketing beforehand. I think we've talked about segmentation a lot and personalization, but the information you can have and get before even doing the sending out an email is so critical in how you personalize them. So if you're getting more than just their email, you're getting things like their job or preferences or interests and stuff like that, you can create really elaborate, really great marketing campaigns if you have the capacity, at least two. So I think, making sure that you have a long list of different reasons you can be emailing someone by the data you already have is going to make all your campaigns far more successful.
No, you're right. I think personalization is the biggest theme that's probably come out of this. You just need to know your audience. Without that, you really can't do anything. You can't send an email to someone without knowing what they want. So you have to remember that. That is probably my biggest kind of takeaway from this session.
I think the most important piece of advice I would give is something we talked about throughout the whole podcast, is just keep monitoring, keep looking at your open rates and keep refining as you go along, because you can learn a lot from what you've already sent out before.
Yeah, that's a great point, James. I'd add, for me, it would be test everything. So without testing, you don't know what part of that email is working. And also it really allows you to take your emails to the next level. So whether that's testing the subject line to increase your open rates, or if that's testing your call to action or the banners that you use to increase your click-throughs, test absolutely everything that you can do.
Yeah, you may get a great result, but by testing, you may get an even better result.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's all we have time for this podcast, but please do tune in. We've got quite a few more interesting topics coming up in the next few episodes, so definitely make sure you listen to those. And for more information about emails and marketing and everything you need to know, definitely do go on to our Charity Digital website, where we have a bunch of information for you to learn from. But that is all from us today. Thank you everyone for listening, and thank you guys for joining.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.